This morning's scripture lesson is one of the traditional resurrection stories I'd like to share with you from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. I think I've got it up there. Very good. Here are these words from the Gospel of Matthew. Now, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see. Come and see where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, when you need something done right, you usually need an expert, a specialist. You should have someone that really knows what they're doing. I've learned that the hard way, because I try to do stuff sometimes and I end up messing up. A $10 job ends up costing me $100 because I've messed something up. Sometimes we need an expert. Sometimes we need professional advice, guidance, and expertise. Be it a legal matter, a medical matter, a construction matter, or a specialist or an auditor for a special need. But I read an article recently that said that sometimes the experts get it wrong. Did you know that doctors, when they propose these new findings, these medical findings, two-thirds of these findings that are printed in journals like the New England Journal of Medicine are refuted within a few years? Tax preparation. Did you know that you're more likely to find errors by someone who prepared your taxes professionally than you are if you did them yourself? And of course, newspapers always get the news correct, right? They always get the facts. Well, actually, half the time, there's at least one inaccurate fact in every news article. So we need to be careful and smarter in choosing the experts to help us. Who were the experts that first Easter in Jerusalem? You might think that the chief priests were the experts of religion, right? You might think that the Pharisees were the experts in the law. Pontius Pilate was a so-called expert in government and keeping law and order in the land. You might even consider the disciples as experts in following Jesus. No, 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 and no when it came to the resurrection. Our text today from Matthew tells us that on the first day of the week, some women, non-experts, went to the tomb. Now, isn't it interesting that it was the women who went to the tomb? But they were going there to prepare Jesus' body, because that was their role and that was their responsibility, to make sure the body was prepared and embalmed properly with spices and herbs as was the Jewish custom. But then as they approach the tomb, there is an earthquake, a mighty shaking of the land, and an angel appears before them at the tomb, and they see the stone rolled away by the angel that appears there, who is glowing in white light, brighter than any light that they'd ever seen. And the stone was rolled away, and they were told that Jesus was not there. But you know, they were not the only ones there at the tomb, according to Matthew's gospel. There were two Jewish guards there also, more non-experts, who were appointed by the so-called experts in Jerusalem to go and guard the tomb to make sure that no one stole the body. And they see the same thing, and they're so awestruck by this scene that they become like dead men. They must have been petrified by the earthquake and the sight of this angel. You see, the first witnesses to Jesus' resurrection was by non-experts, not the professional religious people, not the rich and famous, but the women and the guards. To the women, the angel says, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come and see where he lay." They look into the tomb, and sure enough, there's nothing there but a bunch of grave clothes. There's nothing there but some linens that Jesus was wrapped in as he was taken down from the cross. And they hear the angel say, "Go and tell his disciples that he has been raised from the dead, and indeed is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him." The angel says, "Go." In other words, don't stick around here. Go and tell the disciples that Jesus is alive. And as they leave that garden, that cemetery, guess who they bump into? Jesus himself. There he is in the flesh. And Jesus says to them, "Greetings. Don't be afraid." And again, he tells them, "Go and tell my disciples to meet me in Galilee, where they will see me." And the women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, fall at Jesus' feet and grasp his feet and worship him. But Jesus tells them to go. But what about those other non-experts I mentioned, the Jewish guards? What did they do? Oh, they got up and went also. They went to tell the experts the news. But the Jewish leaders were afraid something like this would happen. And so they told the guards to tell everyone that Jesus' disciples had stolen the body. And oh, by the way, here's some hush money to go along with it. They were paid off by the Jewish leaders so that this story would go away and be discredited. And they tell that story that the body was stolen. They took the money and ran. Two groups of non-experts, the women and the guards, report the resurrection first. The women tell the story. They go and tell the disciples. And what happens? The word spreads like wildfire and eventually becomes the church at Pentecost. And the word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, goes into all the world. And today, 2,000 plus years later, we are still following this resurrected Jesus. The guards, on the other hand, tell their story and hit a brick wall. End of story for them. The good news, folks, was embraced first by non-experts who had a personal experience with the living, resurrected Jesus. The non-experts. Now, as I said, 2,000 years have passed, and it's still being reported. There are Jesus sightings everywhere. Close encounters of the Jesus kind, if you will. Experiences of the resurrected Jesus in everyday life. Think about that. Think about the people that you know. that are doing the work of Jesus as individuals. Oh, yes, we could think of the mighty names of people like Mother Teresa and Billy Graham and all the wonderful evangelists and missionaries and Oswald Chambers from many years ago and people who are going about doing wonderful things around the world. But what about people that we know? Who are the people that are reporting the work of Jesus by what they are doing in our community and in surrounding communities? You might not have thought about it before, but people like, I'm just going to use the word Dale Dunning. Most of us know Pastor Dale with her Just Soup ministry. What is she doing? She's telling the story of Jesus through her soup ministry. She's sharing the love of Christ through her ministry. There are others, even within our own church. That little lady right back there, Florence Zelitsky. I know she gets tired of me praising her and lifting her up, but I'm telling you, folks, she is a servant of God, and everything she does is to the glory of God, not for her own edification. That's right. I'm thinking of people like Jenny Beal sitting back there, greeting you each Sunday morning, handing out bulletins, and running two prayer circles on Monday afternoon, who are being the hands of Jesus. I was so touched by Ray Quillen's presentation at the men's breakfast last Sunday and his work with Big Sisters and Big Brothers of Delaware. Again, trying to connect these troubled youth with men and women of character to help them on their journey. That's telling the story of Jesus, coming alongside of young people. There's Ray Davis, our own Ray Davis, who's lifting up the name of Jesus and working as the hands of Jesus with the youth of our church and getting ready to take 35 or 40, I don't know how many is going now, to South Carolina to do some mission work down in South Carolina. There's the Stephen ministers. Where's our Stephen ministers? Could you stand up this morning, all Stephen ministers? We have a half a dozen or so. 2, 4. Where's Wendy? She's in the sound booth. Yeah. Our Stephen ministers are Jesus. Thank you. Our Stephen ministers are those that come alongside those who need a shoulder to lean upon, someone to talk to, and to serve in any way that they're called to serve. And then, of course, we have Terry and Beverly, and I could go on and on and on. These are people who are telling the story of Jesus. Our own Joyce, of course, with her music ministry. Yes. I could go on and on. These are the people that are being Jesus and are reporting, you know, what it means to be the hands of Jesus. Our missionaries. Did you know that we are supporting a new missionary? For many years, this church supported the Minks, Gary and Rebecca Mink. Unfortunately, they have retired. And now we have connected with a missionary in, I believe it's Guatemala. And you'll be meeting her in the very near future. We're going to be supporting this missionary, as we did the Minks for many years, through the General Board of Global Ministries. And our $2,500 a year will go to help her do the ministry of Christ around the world, and in this particular part of the world. But it's not only individuals who are doing the work of Christ and being Jesus to people. Communities as well. Last Friday, Thursday or Friday, I'm not sure which it was, a van pulled up at the front of our church, and on the side of it, it said, West Side New Beginnings. West Side New Beginnings. They were here to pick up the 35 baskets of food and canned hams that you all donated to go to West Side New Beginnings. Here is an organization that ministers to the people of West Rehoboth, a very needy part of our community, and they are reaching out, being Jesus, to some very special people there in West Rehoboth. There's Habitat for Humanity, being the hands of Jesus. I read this week about a community near inner city Baltimore called New Song Community. New Song Community is building schools, turning dilapidated buildings into schools and health centers and job placement centers for the people of inner city Baltimore. And then, of course, locally, we have something called Lend-A-Hand. Some of you are familiar with Lend-A-Hand. Perhaps you've received help from Lend-A-Hand at one time or another. A charity with the Association of Churches here in Lewis that quietly do the work of Jesus through giving and through support of many different needs. You see, when it comes to the truth, the truth, capital T, it's better to trust the non-experts, people who see Jesus in the messiness of human life. The Jenny Beals and the Florence Zelizkis and the Dale Dunnings and the Ray Quillens and the Ray Davises. These are non-experts doing the work of Jesus in the messiness of human life. When you're trying to find an expert to help you with a job, how do you tell the good ones from the bad ones? The correct from the incorrect information from the so-called experts. I would be skeptical about anybody that says we have the latest findings or a new study just released, because it's probably too good to be true, and it usually is. And it's the same way for our Christian faith. How can we tell if it's the truth? Well, all we got to do is look to the findings that have been around for a while. The findings of the gospel message, which has been around for 2,000 years plus. The story has not changed. The story is still the same of Jesus and his love. Today, the story we hear is that Jesus is alive. How do we know that he is alive? We've just talked about many examples of the living Jesus living through God's people here at Bethel and many churches all over the world. The question I asked the folks at 6 o'clock this morning was, had they seen Jesus today? Have you seen Jesus? Well, as you know, we have a growing Emmaus community here at Bethel Church. Where are my Emmaus people that have been on the walk to Emmaus? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. In the Emmaus community, we get together every now and then, and we sing many songs. But one that is particularly meaningful to me is Jesus, My Lord. Have you seen Jesus, My Lord? And it goes something like this. Have you seen Jesus, My Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look, open your eyes, and he'll show it to you. Have you ever looked at the sunset with the sky mellowing red and the clouds suspended like feathers? Then I say, you've seen Jesus, My Lord. Have you ever stood at the ocean with the white foam at your feet, felt the endless thunder in motion? Then I say, you've seen Jesus, My Lord. Have you ever looked at the cross with a man hanging in pain and the look of love in his eyes? Then I say, you've seen Jesus, My Lord. Have you ever stood in the family with the Lord there in your midst, seen the face of Jesus on your neighbor? Then I say, you've seen Jesus, My Lord. Folks, the resurrected Christ, the resurrected Jesus is alive in people and in communities that love God and neighbor, who are building the kingdom of heaven right here on earth. The question is, are you one of those? Are you one of those that are the hands and the feet of Jesus? What better time to extend the invitation to be a part of God's family, to be a part of what God's up to in this corner of God's kingdom? Do not leave here today until you have answered the question, what am I doing in thanks and gratitude for God? It begins by a surrendered heart. It begins by committing ourselves or recommitting ourselves to Jesus Christ. Because without that, none of what you do means anything. It has to be to the glory and honor of God. So I pray that as we close our closing song, to close with our closing song today, that you will reflect upon that question as we go forth into the world as disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Now everybody rise as we sing our closing song as we leave this place.